Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. We're on this podcast, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk all about movement and why movement is so important for people that are suffering with headaches and migraines. And also why not evaluating movement leaves you spinning and stranded and trying to understand the source. And so it's all about why movement matters. You see, as a physical therapist, that's what we specialize in. We specialize in understanding and restoring movement problems. And so we're going to break that down so that you guys understand that. I've had multiple conversations with people about this topic this week. And oftentimes when I'm thinking about a podcast topic, that's sort of where it stems from is what are people that I'm seeing and helping here now this week with headaches and migraines? What are they asking me, and how can I put that into a podcast? Meaning, go more in depth with it so that you, the listener, can understand it. And then what we do is we kind of circle back on these podcasts as resources when people have questions and things like that. But this podcast is going to be all about why movement matters. We're going to go into the anatomy and the different structures that can be sites of pain, and why, like looking at how the body functions and moves is more important than just looking at a static image. So when we're understanding how our healthcare system is set up and in how it's going to diagnose and evaluate, it's really set up to use these tools such as an X-ray, MRI, CT scan that are still images. So you guys have heard me talk about that. Unless you're new to the podcast, the still image is only providing a portion of what we need to understand. But our healthcare system relies almost exclusively on an X-ray, which looks at bone. All right, so an X-ray is really good at showing things like fractures or potentially arthritis. And then there's MRI, which MRIs can show inflammation, and they can highlight soft tissues depending on the type of MRI that you receive. Or there's a CT scan, which is like it can be just a more detailed, much more detailed version of an X-ray. And then there can be some soft tissue potentially that can be seen on a CT scan, especially if they put in like a contrast dye or something like that, if they're looking at blood vessels. So anyways, a CT scan, especially in the dental world, they use what's called a cone beam CT, which is like a 3D image. It's really cool. So you can look at all the different dimensions of the spine or of the skull. And it's fascinating to get the insights. And then there's also maybe like postural assessment, probably more in the chiropractic world. They get into looking at posture and taking an X-ray and looking at the angles of things and the degrees that you're off from neutral, and really dissecting posture. Okay, but all those things, the thing that they have in common is they're static images. So whether we're using an X-ray to look at the skeletal system, and maybe it's the resting position when the image is taken, maybe we're looking at the joint spacing, or maybe we're looking for if you have recently had a car accident or something like that within the last couple of weeks, and your neck still hurts when you turn it, maybe we're looking for fractures or things like that. Okay, so these images do have a place, especially, so like, let's say an MRI, if we're trying to understand if there's a herniated disc, if there's inflammation around a disc in the neck, an MRI would be the best imaging tool in order to see that. If we're trying to find, let's say, we're trying to screen for something like a tumor, an MRI might be the best image to find something like a tumor, a CT scan. Something that's occupying space or like is an alternative source of headaches or migraines. But these things are super rare. If you're listening to this podcast, the chances are that is not what you're dealing with. And I largely say that because our healthcare system is really good at catching those things. So if you have something like a tumor or a brain bleed would be more of an immediate response. I mean, you have this really intense headache and it's more emergent. So you're definitely not listening to this podcast if a brain bleed is the source. And then if you unless you had a headache like within the last half hour and you thought to search podcasts and now you're listening to this, which would be strange. But anyway, the point is that they have utility. These images have utility, but the problem is that they're still images, so they're not showing us movement. And when we look at a still image, let's take for instance an x-ray. When we look at an x-ray, it gives us information. And we want to find a problem. And so we look at this x-ray and we say, okay, there's wear and tear to the mid portion of the neck. So like C4, 5, 5, 6. And by the way, that's typically where we find it, because if the upper part of the neck isn't doing its job, the mid portion of the neck has to take on more of that stress. And so over time, we see the wear and tear and that added stress present as arthritic changes or stress on the disc, herniated disc, things like that. So typically it's C3 to like C6, somewhere in there. And we have this patient with headaches or migraines, and we look at their image and we say, okay, C4, 5 is really worn down. You have spinal stenosis or stenosis, meaning like or arthritic changes where the spacing between those vertebrae has been lost. And one scenario is you start talking like surgery, okay, we need to make sure that doesn't progress and that's the cause of your headaches or migraines. The danger is in assuming that like, okay, you have headaches and migraines and we took this image. Well, we see these changes on the image. So that's a reason for your headaches or migraines, which, again, it wouldn't be a natural conclusion to say like, there's not a ton of evidence to say like C4, 5, 5, 6 and how we understand pain and where that area of the neck would refer pain. It's not to the head. And so C5, 6, having arthritic changes, we don't want to connect that to a headache or a migraine. That needs to be higher up, C1, 2, 2, 3, those types of things. But generally on imaging, those areas don't have an issue, all right? And so the problem, to summarize this, is that we're using diagnostic tools that show a static image. And the static image is, it gives us a glimpse into what might be happening when someone moves, meaning it can indicate, okay, if you have more of a forward shoulder, forward head position, and there's more stress placed through the spine and your spine's had to accommodate to that, maybe on an x-ray, like we see those changes. We see your head sits more forward. We see the changes in the individual vertebrae that have basically change as a result of this prolonged sitting posture. Or let's say you carry your tension through your shoulders and your shoulders have had to compensate, or you're trying to sit up straight by fighting this tension that's pulling your shoulders forward. And so you flatten out your mid-back. And so when we look at an image, we see a flat mid-back and neck. But again, it all goes back to how you move and if you're able to move in these patterns or not. And when the body compensates, we see these things show up on these still images. Now, does that mean that the still image is the best tool for diagnosing and correcting these things? I'm going to argue no. Okay, so they can be helpful, like I said, in showing maybe wear and tear to different segments of the neck. And by the way, if you have symptoms, let's say like numbness, tingling, weakness in your hand, pain that shoots down your hand, progressive neurological signs, there are cases where looking at the neck and maybe taking to the point of like, okay, we need to even discuss surgery because this isn't correcting with conservative measures, that is appropriate. But by and large, that's a small percentage. So the number of people that are getting these images that don't need them, it's very, very high, most people that I talk to. Okay, so what's the missing piece? The missing piece is understanding how the body moves. The problem here is that the providers that you're seeing are not trained at understanding and resolving movement problems and solving movement problems. So chiropractic, for example, and on this podcast, I'm a physical therapist, so that's my bias. I want things to move better. Chiropractic, and just as a disclaimer here, like I've never been to chiropractic school. I know a lot of chiropractors and they do a lot of good. And by and large, like, if you're continuing down this road of medication and you haven't tried chiropractic, please go try chiropractic because they are going to work on your spine and they're going to physically change something so that there is a good chance you see some relief from your headaches or migraines. Now we look at it differently. And so we're still impacting the spine, and this is the difference. As a physical therapist, I'm trained in how to look at and restore movement problems. And by and large, the chiropractic model may be based on this subluxation model, meaning they'll take an image of the spine and again a still image and try to piece together through posture, the degrees of curvature, things like that, where they need to treat or manipulate so that everything lines up appropriately. Okay. Not saying that's all wrong or all bad or anything like that, but it's just different. They're looking at the spine as alignment, meaning stillness, like the still picture of the spine, and we're looking at how things move, all right? And so what I'm going to do is build on an argument for why movement makes sense. Now, as far as when we think about our bodies and the different structures that could be painful, that could be sources of pain, we've got muscles, we've got tendons, which connect a muscle to a bone. We've got ligaments, which connect bone to bone. We've got the bones themselves, which provide the skeletal structure so that we can even stand upright. And so the muscles act on the joints, and a joint is made up of two bones interacting with each other. Oftentimes there's cartilage and what's called synovial fluid, which is like fluid to make sure that the joint is able to move smoothly. And then you have the ligaments or maybe a joint capsule that surrounds the joint and keeping it all encapsulated. So the thing to understand is that these systems, these different structures are designed so that we can move, okay? So that our shoulder can reach up overhead, so we can turn our head to the right and left, so that we can look up and down, so that we can rotate our spine, so we can extend our back, so that we can do all these different movements. The purpose of that would be to run, to jump, to accomplish the things that we need to accomplish, not only to survive, but to thrive and be productive and be creative and things like that. And so our bodies are meant to move. They're not meant to be static. And we'll talk about why we'd be in pain in a second, which comes down to either like prolonged static positions or just compensations and how we move. But when it comes to the different structures, and we look at how they're designed and the function of them, it really is to allow us to move. Now, of course, if we look at alignment of the spine, it is set up and structured so that we should be able to be in a static position with the least amount of stress on our system as possible. And when we deviate from that, we add stress. So for example, if your head is even 15 degrees forward, so let's just say a couple inches forward, it doubles the perceived weight on your neck. And so your neck goes from carrying, you know, what may feel like 10 pounds of weight just straight down to having to carry, you know, 20 pounds or so as your head's forward. Okay. So it changes the force applied through the spine and it increases the weight that your neck has to carry. So static position is important to understand, but one of the things that causes us to not have a good static position are compensations and movement that lead to us having a forward shoulder position, forward head position, things like that. These tissues, all these different tissues, so when I say tissues, I mean muscle, tendon, ligament, and even bone for this scenario, is they're all responding to stresses throughout the day, meaning if you exercise, if you go to the gym and exercise, that's a good stress. And what you're going to find is increased bone density. You're going to find increased resiliency or strength of the ligaments, of the tendons, and of the muscle. So we can see visibly changes in muscle tone, muscle definition, muscle volume. All right. So it's a breaking down and then rebuilding of muscle tissue. Okay. That's what we do when we get stronger, when we exercise. And so all these different tissues are responding to stress. Okay. So one of the things to understand is that if we have an absence of that, so if we don't apply any stress to our body, it'll respond to that as well. And it'll atrophy. The muscles will waste and they'll actually turn into fat over time. One of the really interesting things in PT school that we learned is that you can have someone later in life, so 70s, 80s, that's very sedentary, that's not very active, and they may look like they're slim, they're slender, they haven't necessarily gained a ton of weight, they may have lost weight actually, but they can still develop type 2 diabetes. And the reason for that is sarcopenia, meaning the muscles will waste away and turn into fat. And so the higher fat concentration changes the way their body handles sugars and things like that. So just a little sidebar. But the idea is that when we don't move, our muscles atrophy, they get smaller, they can even turn into fat. And so fat will occupy the space where the muscle was. And so that's kind of on the extreme of things, but essentially that's what's happening. We're not teaching our body that we're not using the tools that we have to move. And so our body's responding to that and changing, all right? And so that's evidence of like, okay, we're supposed to move, we're supposed to use these things, and we're supposed to actually apply sort of like enough stress so they learn to do a better job. So it's not like we have a limit and we can't cross that limit. When you exercise, you're asking your body to push past what it's even used to. And then you keep developing and increasing that threshold, whatever that is. And that's very healthy. That's very healthy for our systems. It's very healthy for our bones, for our ligaments, for our tendons, for our muscles, okay? So outside of exercising specifically, just think about your day. How many of us sit for most of the day? All right. So we're teaching our body to do the opposite of what it was designed to do. We're teaching our body to sit and be sedentary. Okay. So if it's designed to move, we need to move more, but we need to understand that if we have a problem with a muscle, if a muscle's angry, all right, we definitely don't want to go down the road of like injecting it with Botox. And this is what our healthcare system, I mean, it's like that's like the pinnacle of treatment for migraine is you get this toxin injected into the muscle. And like I said before, if we paralyze a muscle, we don't teach it to do its job, it atrophies, and fat can even replace that space that it was occupying. And so we don't want that to happen. We want to restore function to our body. And so, I mean, just the fact that Botox works is evidence that the muscle is having an issue, all right? So if a muscle is having an issue, and we understand that the muscle and the tendon and the ligament and the bone and the joint, like if these areas are inflamed and having problems, which is happening when you have this neck problem that shoots up into your head, then we have to understand that those things are intended to help us move. And so the reason they're irritated is because we're not moving the way we should. Either we're not providing the movement that it wants throughout the day, or we're sort of compensating in how we move. So we're still moving. It's just not the appropriate movement. We've compensated. We've changed the way we move. Okay. So there's two things here. There's loss of movement. So meaning we're just not moving. And then there's abnormal movements or compensations. All right. So first, loss of movement. This would be like prolonged sitting. So like I just talked about, your head's forward by 15 degrees. It doubles the perceived weight on your neck. Maybe your shoulders come forward, and so the pec muscles, which on the front side or on your chest, they adaptively shorten. So you're teaching them to be shorter because you're not lengthening them throughout the day. And so over time, over years, they shorten, okay? So what happens is your shoulder position is now a few degrees more forward than it would be in neutral. Now, when you try to reach up overhead or you go to the gym and you do these lifts, the shoulder position being forward puts stress maybe through your upper trap, maybe through the front of the shoulder, through your bicep, and it changes the way you function and the way you move, okay? So that's a compensation pattern. The other muscles, the other thing to consider when we're thinking about, okay, you're just in a static position throughout the day, is we have two types of muscle groups. We have the type 1 fibers, which are intended to help more for like posture. So a low load over a long period of time. So you have, for example, these deep neck flexor muscles. They're deep kind of on the front side of the spine in your throat area. And they're supposed to engage to help the muscle be stable as you're just sitting upright. Now, if we've put our head in a forward position and we're static, those muscles are at a disadvantage. So the muscles that are supposed to be doing the job of helping us sit upright are at an angle where they're not really optimized to function well. And so what happens is we have these type 2 fibers, like these big SCM muscles, which if you pinch that right there, if you're watching me on YouTube, if you pinch that, you probably have some tenderness, maybe even shoots up into your ear or to your head. Hey guys, just a short interruption to let you know that the SAM device, the device that we sell here exclusively at Novera Headache Center and that we have the patent on, is now available on Amazon. If you're not familiar with the SAM device, you can go to our website, www.noveraheadachecenter.com, and learn all about it on the page there under the SAM device tab. But the SAM device is a device that we came up with to help people with headaches and migraines restore function in the upper part of the neck. So namely, the underlying problem with most headaches and migraines being the upper neck is restricted, the SAM device applies pressure and helps restore function to the upper part of the neck. You do this from the comfort of your own home. You can purchase it on Amazon, Prime, free 2-day shipping, and you can have it at your door in just a couple of days. If you're someone who feels like they would benefit from the SAM device, I want you to go to our website, noveraheadachecenter.com, under the SAM device tab, or you can go on to Amazon and search migraine relief device, scroll down until you find the SAM device. Thank you all so much for being listeners and supporters of what we do. Here's another way that you can interact with us, and we can help you on your journey to headache and migraine relief. So that guy is mainly a type 2 muscle. So it's meant to do a higher load over a short period of time. So it's meant to turn your head and then relax. So contract and relax, contract and relax. It's not really intended to do a low amount of load over a long period of time. But when we've changed the way we're sitting and we have this prolonged posturing that is not proper, or we're not just giving that dynamic movement, it sort of turns into like it acts as a type 1 muscle, like it's just on all the time. And it's not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be in this rhythm of contracting, relaxing. Well, that causes tension through the muscle. It causes irritation and it causes a pain signal. And so that's evidence of that is you squeezing it and it says, I don't like this. The muscles should not hurt when you push on them. But if it does and it sends pain into your head, that could be a source of your headache or your migraine, okay? So to correct that, we need to correct how you move. We need to correct the available motion. We need to correct the types of muscles that should be holding your head up need to be doing their job. And these bigger type 2 muscle fibers need to know that they can calm down and just do more of this contract, relax, which they're used to. So the other thing that can happen is we move, but we're moving with compensations. And so this can come about from repeated movements in a specific pattern. So think of someone that's moving on like an assembly line and you're just assembling a widget. Or maybe a better example is you're a dentist and you're working on patients, you're a dental hygienist, and you're constantly turned to one side and you're reaching. And you know, you're working their mouth, you're grabbing their tools. And so you're rotated to the left or the right, whatever it is. And your dominant hand is mainly up and your shoulders shrugged. And that's how you work for, you know, 8 hours a day or whatever it is. That positioning is going to be really taxing on your body. So you are moving. It's not like you're just being sedentary, but you're moving in a specific pattern. So you're not using all the available motion to the joint and then the specific muscle groups maybe not aren't conditioned to do that much throughout the day. And so you're going to compensate and you're going to add stress, whether it's to your neck or to your mid-back or the shoulder itself. And so if we just apply movement, but it's not the full breadth and scope of what our body's meant to do, and it's just a specific pattern over and over and over again, that can also get us in trouble because that'll add stress in a compensation pattern. And so these two things we work with as physical therapists all the time. We need to get proper movement back and just get people moving that have maybe been more sedentary. And then we need to unwind these compensation patterns that we're seeing from people that have just been doing specific things over and over again. The other way that compensations occur can be through injury or trauma. And so it can be, you know, a car accident, whiplash injury, I don't know, falling as a kid, shoulder injuries, which change the way you move. There's all sorts of things that can impact the spine and the joint itself so that the joint doesn't really want to move like it should. And then your body finds another way to do it. The interesting thing about this, and this is something I have to explain quite a bit, is people, they want to connect their symptoms to something. So you want to connect your headache or your migraine to an experience. And oftentimes there's a delay from like a car accident to the time you actually start having a headache or a migraine. Or maybe you don't have the car accident in your past and these headaches or migraines just pop out of nowhere. Well, what's been happening is you've been living, your body's resilient enough to live with these compensations and to live with tension. But if the tension increases or threshold drops, whenever those variables change enough, you just start to feel a headache and it can feel like it came out of nowhere. So the fact that you don't necessarily have something mechanical to tie it to, or if you're like, hey, I'm pretty healthy, like I feel like I exercise all the time, like I do use, you know, the full range of motion. It could be that you've got joints that aren't wanting to move the way they should. Maybe you've got compensation patterns that are just hard to flesh out. Some of these things you can't necessarily like stretch your way out of or exercise your way out of. It takes someone like a physical therapist to understand how to change these compensation patterns that have been there for so long. So when it comes to, just to circle back and sort of summarize everything we've talked about, the problem with headaches or migraines is that you're having the source of pain come from something within the musculoskeletal system. So muscles, tendons, ligaments, joints, something in there is irritated and it's sending pain to your head. We do imaging to clear for things like fractures, tumors, and the imaging is a still image. So it gives us a snapshot of the musculoskeletal tissue in just that moment of time. So it doesn't tell me how your head rotates, what happens if you reach up over your head, is your shoulder increasing tension through your neck, what's side bending look like, how much rotation is through C1 and C2. It doesn't give us any of that. So when it comes to muscle, tendon, ligaments being irritated and sending the pain signal, they're largely responsible for allowing us to move. And so that's where the diagnostic tools we're using are not as helpful, because this is a movement problem. And so you feel flustered and frustrated because you're spinning your wheels, seeing specialists, but no one really has an answer for you. And it's because they're overlooking the movement and the proper movement that the body should have. Now, we don't want to necessarily mask the pain, because the pain is telling us something's wrong. And like I said, injecting Botox into it just basically paralyzes the muscle. But again, if that's working, it's telling you that there's something wrong with muscle tension. Your muscles are not happy. And so we have to restore movement. And the reason we get into these movement problems is because we're either sedentary, we've had a past injury, or we have this compensation pattern. And a physical therapist is going to be the best equipped to understand how to unwind all of that. And then when it comes to headaches or migraines, that's our role. And so that's where we're falling into this niche of helping people with headaches and migraines understand this movement problem when it comes to the neck and restoring function so that you don't have irritation and pain that's causing headaches all the time. So there you have it. That is why movement matters. I hope that makes sense and gives you clarity moving forward on like, okay, I'm not going to give up hope. I am going to keep pursuing this. I'm going to start moving more. I'm going to pay attention to, you know, how long I'm sitting, the postures I'm sitting in, and I'm going to try to incorporate movement into my day. And then I'm going to find whether reaching out to us here at Novera Headache Center. We would love to help you out with this process, but just finding someone that can help restore function and mobility to your neck and shoulders, and then having that relief and understanding the source of these symptoms so that you can get your life back. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. Please share this podcast with someone you know that could really benefit from it. It helps the algorithm. It pushes us forward. We're ranked, I don't know, number one. If not number one, like we're up there with when you search for headaches or migraines on a podcast platform, it's pretty much leads you to us. And I'm so thankful for you, the listeners, continuing to download these episodes, to subscribing to our platform. And if you're on YouTube, please subscribe as we look to build our YouTube platform. Thank you guys so much. As always, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. I'll see you next week.